Hey, podcast listeners. This is Jordan Tyler Coltman coming to you alongside Elliot Tanti. Elliot and I, along with some other guy, host a sports podcast show called Hat Trick. Elliot, tell these lovely listeners what they should expect when they, following this ad, go and subscribe to Hat Trick.
2 to 3 white guys per episode doing 3 topics, each of which surrounding the world of sports. We have a number of fun topics and hilarious games that we play, but also we dive deep into the darkest and most problematic aspects of particularly the NHL, but all sports in general. All done bi-weekly together as friends.
All right, so if that sounds even remotely interesting to you, you should probably head over to your favorite podcast app right now. In fact, probably use the one you're currently listening to, whatever this ad is running on. Smack that subscribe button, follow us, and enjoy the Hat Trick Sports Podcast, available everywhere you get your podcasts. I'd say that was like a high quality ad right there.
I don't know if it was high quality, but all right.
Hello, welcome. This is the Mother Pucker Podcast. It has been a while since we have been together. Not as long as last time, but you know, we are narrowing down our recording window. But we are some busy gals, and I am here with my fabulous, wonderful, beautiful co-host, Riz. Riz is in Calgary in the house right now, and I am Reese, coming to you from Vancouver, and welcome to the Mother Pucker Podcast. Hi, Riz, so how you doing?
That was like so sweet. Thank you for that. I'm doing
good. I only speak the truth.
I'm doing well. I mean, I think when we left off last time, we said we won't go, like, we're going to be back, and then we weren't back for a couple weeks. But
a couple weeks.
You know what? Like, I think this is the calm, like, think of this as the calm before the storm, because in theory, like, the big thing that we're going to talk about today is the Oilers have clinched, and hockey doesn't really matter right now. There are still storylines that we can talk about, but like all we know is we're in the playoffs. It's kind of a little bit of a shit show of who we're going to play. We'll get into all that soon, but like hockey doesn't matter. And you know, in what are we away? Like 22, not even days. Like
not even days.
Yeah. Like I think we're at 18 days or something like that.
It is upon us.
Hockey is going to be all we eat, sleep, and breathe for for hopefully well into June. That's
amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Agree. Yeah. Totally. And so we just gave ourselves like a preparatory window. You know, you had to go on a little holiday, some family and friends stuff. I had some stuff going on. Spring break. It was a time. Easter. I hope everyone had a great Easter and that the bunny came and dropped off chocolate for you if you're listening. But yeah, so we're going to jump into hockey in a little while, but we want to talk about, we know we love hockey. We always talk about our Oilers. We talk about lots of hockey, but we love sports in general. The two of us love sports, and we love women in sports, and we're proud women in sports. And Riz has a pedigree in sport, and we're just really pumped right now about what's going on in sport for women, specifically what's
NCAA
happening.
We're just AA madness.
That's right, baby. Some ladies basketball. And, you know, we've heard a long time that women's sport doesn't draw viewership. And we can now say that that has been clearly debunked, ladies and gentlemen. But I wanted to, like, you know, Riz, with your background in sport and basketball and all of the things you did at the U of A and all the fun you had, I'm just curious if you'd like just jump in and share a bit about all of it. Share with our viewers like why it's so great, why in this time now, why people should be tuning in.
Yeah, so there's actually like a little bit of weird drama going around with this whole NCAA and the hype around it, and I've seen a lot of men commenting on these women, and I tend to actually agree, but it all, I don't even know where to start. So there's a lot of talk right now about that a lot of women's, because we're just getting into the WNBA season. It hasn't started yet. So a lot of those women that play at the highest level are kind of in the background, or they're getting like interviewed on NCAA. And it does seem that, and it, again, take this with a grain of salt, because it almost seems like the media is spinning it that way, but it's almost like the media is spinning it and picking sound bites and clips of a lot of,
not like they've ever done that before,
right? A lot of these women that are the all-stars of the WNBA, and talking about like them almost sounding a bit bitter that all these girls now are getting kind of so much attention. But I think, and there is some that maybe were taken out of context, but there was one in particular I did hear today. I'm like, ooh, you sound sour. Made my own decision on that. I won't say who it was, but, it's been incredible. Now NCAA, to put this into context from last year, I mean, with the rise of NIL, this all started out of NIL, right? So the NCAA changed the rules, I think it was 3 years ago now, where players are allowed to make money. So we literally have 18-year-old kids coming out of high school that are signing $300,000 brand deals, because they're just a freshman that's going to go redshirt their first year to play at like a Big Ten school for football. And that's like verbatim, yep. Like that's happening. And then there's it's primarily happening in football and basketball, and especially for the men's side. And then, but the women's side last year, it was slower to start. And obviously I work in sponsorship. I've talked about that before. So I actually follow all these reports. The women's side this year, even though the amount of money that was pumped into NIL deals is still smaller than the men's, it grew. They have about like, I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but there was the number of deals that were done was like more than triple. So there's a bunch of brands that are really leaning into these female athletes that are like, so some of the girls, like Angel Reese is one of them. She plays for LSU. She has like 23 brand deals. So even Whoa. Though they're smaller, she has yep. way more of them, right?
And she's collecting them like, yes. like the Infinity Stones.
Yes. Love that reference. So these girls now have like, you know, I think the if we were going to talk about the big five, they have between on average 500,000 to over 1 million followers. And they're
good for them.
College students. They're college students.
Babies. And, fresh babies.
Yes. Yes. So if you really want to get into like just the talent pool of women's basketball now, and I will say it like this, and I've said it about hockey too. It's like the same when we're talking about the PWHL and we're gushing about them. The reason why they only have six teams right now, one of the many reasons why they only have six teams right now, is because they don't want to water down the product, right?
Fair
so
enough.
Now yeah. we're watching six teams that are all playing at an excellent caliber. When we watch the World Cup, which I just finished watching, the USA just won in overtime, darn it, Women's World Cup. And of course it's Canada and the US in the final, right? But yep. at least we know that there's other teams that are coming up. They really are. It used to always be Canada and the US and everybody else. They would beat everyone else by 10, you know, or more, yeah. if not that. But now we've got teams that actually give them a run for their money. So Switzerland's one of them coming up. Sweden's always got a strong program. Finland, and because it's kind of the same as the World Cup of hockey in men's as well. Like it's the same, you're hearing about the same ones. And then they've always got a sneaky team that sometimes will surprise you, Latvia being one of those. And like, so now when we have the PWHL, there's six teams because we really are seeing girls that are at the top of the game, and the yeah. game, they are trying to put a product on the ice that I don't want to say it like this, but I don't like I'm trying to be clear to our audience. It's like a product worth watching. You don't want to feel like you're watching a midget AAA, like U18 boys team, right? Like you want to see people who are top of their game. And we know the girls are not the men yet. They are still eons behind. But the point is that watching the women's hockey now is like our parents watching men's NHL in the yeah. early 80s, right? Like, you know, no buckets, like skating around. Like I'd argue they're probably even better than that because they have way more skill with the sticks and the equipment and what they're doing. So like we're behind, but at least we're getting to a point where it's worth watching. And the NCAA was so far beyond worth watching this year. The mm-hmm. women's tournament has broken every shattered every record in terms of audiences tuning in, and this is what happened in the magic of sports when we give them a platform to stand on. So all these girls that are the stars of their team have this incredible platform, which is actually funny because the team that ended up winning, Cinderella story, they went like, I think 37-0. They were undefeated. They finished the season. They had a Cinderella, yes, a perfect season. They went, and they are insane how deep they are because they had 37 points off their bench, like, and versus Iowa, who Caitlin Clark is the one we'll get to. So Iowa was the other kind of number one team that was in. Caitlin Clark has broken every record. She's kind of shattering. She's really like highly touted, going to be the number one draft pick for the NBA next, or WNBA, actually right away, May 5th, I think it is. Yeah. Or actually maybe be April. Like, it's within the next 2 weeks. And then, interestingly enough, so the team that has the first draft pick has already rescheduled games. So they play Vegas in like the, where the Las Vegas Aces play, and it's a smaller arena. I think it holds about 10,000 people. Okay. They moved it to the NHL arena already, just knowing that Caitlin
Clark, ticket sales, knowing,
like,
she's coming.
They're knowing, they're like, we know they're taking her, and yeah, they know she's coming, and she puts bums in seats. And actually Dave, help me, Dave, from Barstool. Portnoy. Yeah. Portnoy. Mm-hmm. So he was joking on, I saw it on a clip on social media, that he offered her $10 million. And you know, he's serious, to go play on his like beer league team, his like rec basketball team, because if they did that, if she did that, they would build a whole production around it, because you know she's going to sell seats. And that's like, mm-hmm, the 3-on-3 tournament that's been going on. A lot of these girls are playing in it. They're getting paid literally millions of dollars, like way more money than they're getting paid to play in the WNBA, because the WNBA, yeah, can't afford to pay them at that price yet. But it's because they sell tickets, because people are interested in the storylines. They've bought into the media hype. So again, it's all about the platform. If the media was ignoring all this and like didn't, mm-hmm, care, then the rest of the world wouldn't really know what's going on. Like, as someone who's not really, I'm not going to say you're not a fan, you're a fan, but like, yeah, maybe not as invested in,
yeah, not checking, NCAA, watching every game. Absolutely.
Right? Like, you're not, yeah, but you know about it, right?
Because absolutely.
It's, yes, everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's on your socials. It's on your TSN highlights. It's like
Caitlin Clark's face is printed into my brains. Just, yeah, you scroll Insta and yeah, it's everywhere. She's everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's been a little bit of a progression with some of the other key players that have come up in the last couple of years, but she just seems to be special because she shoots the ball from half court. It's like, it's like insane to watch. Like, she just will just like dribble down and she'll just like pull up and shoot a three from like, she's still 10 feet away from the 3-point line. It's, yeah, stupid. Like, as a former basketball player, I'm like, how do you guard that? Like, because you never, like, in
what do
like,
you do?
Like, yeah, what do you do? Like, all you can do. And actually, that was really interesting to watch her in the final. And the girl that guarded her was absolutely incredible. And I'm sorry, I don't know. They need bigger name bars. They need to do what the,
yes,
the, what Molson did with the PWHL, because, yes, I can't always see their backgrounds. And I
ponytails in the way. Yeah, we need to, yeah, see names.
And University of South Carolina, I knew about like their fairy tale still, but I know about their one big player. So her name, her last name, Cardoza. She's a Brazilian. She's 6'7" and she is built like Matt Rempe. Like,
she's like, in the right sport. She's found her, yeah, sport.
And she is like, and she's usually, when you talk about these big, I like to refer to them as the big farm girls when we used to play against them, because it was always the Saskatchewan girls that usually came out that were that big. But they're like, they're usually a little out of shape, and all they do is just kind of hang out, and you just lob them the ball, and you just have to like jump and try and like get it away from them, like try and swat. But this girl is so athletic, and she doesn't have like a long range shot, but she can shoot mid range, and she can play unbelievable defense. She is blocking, yeah, left, right, and center.
Yes.
And she like can run up and down the court. So it's just like, again, when I'm talking about the level of skill of the women now, this, there hasn't, like, other than one, there was one woman who played in the early 90s, and she scored 105 points in a game. Her name's Cheryl. She's with Stanford. I gotta get my stats right. See, I gotta write these things down if I know I'm gonna be talking about them. But we just decided before this.
Sorry, that I lobbed this way. I lobbed, yeah, this one to her, yeah, real early.
but like, other than those ones that no one could really talk about because they were such anomalies that it was like, oh my God, like, did you hear about that girl? But then you hear nothing else about it because it's not repeatable, and it's not against other things that are interesting. But now we've got this like new generation and the top five. Mm-hmm. And actually of the five girls that were kind of really highly touted throughout this tournament, I think only three of them are actually declaring for the draft. So we already know kind of who's going to go one, two, and three for sure. One and two, Cardozo, the girls in there. There was just so many amazing stories. So UConn used to, the couple of years ago, UConn was a Cinderella story. They went undefeated for the whole season. And they were like an unbelievable deep team, and they lost so many players to injury last year. And this year between the two, they've lost like five starters. And, Paige Bueckers is another kind of, I think she's the same age as Caitlin Clark. And she, blew her ACL. So her was her comeback story. And in her semifinal game, like just, like she played her heart out, and it was kind of the Paige versus Caitlin story. And so we had 14 million people watch that broadcast, you guys. That's, and then we go so into the final to get to see if Caitlin Clark really, and there's a lot of people saying, is she ever going to be the GOAT if she doesn't win a championship? Yeah. I don't know. You can't argue that one because of what she's done for the sport.
They then say that about someone we talk about on this podcast is very a lot true. Too. I would argue that he is the greatest. So, you know,
we're going to say number 97, 100%. Yeah. That's my, so 18 million viewers for that final. It was at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, which I was a little not thrilled about. I was like,
ideal timing. Game.
Yeah. But that's like, you had 18 million people show up that we haven't had a single NHL game that's had 18 million viewers.
No, I know. So like tune in, friends, tune into female sports.
Broadcast numbers matter, by the way, as a person who works in sponsorship, we need people watching games. So
they do tune in,
turn, just have your TV on the background if you're not paying full attention and put it on, and those things matter. But
yeah, check your emails, cook your dinner, do what you need to do, but put it on and like, let's continue this role of female sports getting the platform that they deserve in order to be able to like have the growth that they deserve.
Yeah. And then the one last thing I'll say is the coach of the winning team. So University of South Carolina, she is, first of all, she is a force. They've interviewed her, and she's always rocking these like Louis V like thick jackets. The one thing I have nothing but like stand up most respect for is that as she's like doing her like post game media speech and speaking to the whole arena, and she said, you know, I'd like to thank Iowa for giving us a pretty good run for our money. And thank God Iowa had the lead for basically the entire first half, and South Carolina took over in the second. And she said, and I'd like to personally thank Caitlin Clark for elevating our sport and drawing the attention. And I thought that was just so classy, because that's really what it came down to. And I think that's a lot of the other girls that have been, or women, they'll say that have been interviewed, that maybe have a little bit of a bitterness thing. And, you know, is it coming out of jealousy, whatever it is, but nothing but respect for, okay, now we're starting to see it. Right. And when seeing it is only how we kind of get better. And I know a lot of these leagues are not like the PWHL and stuff. They're what their financial model might look like and where it's going. But what matters is people only watch if you give them a reason to, and absolutely, that requires a platform. So that's, I was stoked about this. It was a great, like all time NCAA women's tournament. I'll be totally transparent. Like there's a lot of times where I wouldn't watch a lot of the women's games. I would watch the teams that I cared about if they had like certain players that I liked the way they played, but this year was just something special. I've watched half of a men's game. Like the men's game is on right now.
I didn't even know at one point. I was like, are like men's games happening? Or it, what a turnaround even from last year. So congratulations to Caitlin Clark and everybody else. Just anyone who is enjoying female sports right now, congratulations to you for tuning in, because it's a good time and it's going to continue to be so if you turn in.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump over to something we love to talk about.
Yes.
And that is hockey in general, but also our Edmonton Oilers, our dear Edmonton Oilers, who as of Saturday night clinched a playoff spot with six or seven games remaining. And in November,
it was Friday night.
Thank you. The weekend blurs into one day.
It really does. Yeah.
And in November, we weren't sure they were going to make the playoffs. So here we are.
We were very skeptical.
We were skeptical. We were deeply sad and wounded Oilers fans with a little PTSD trauma happening at the beginning of the year and all the way up into the end of November when things, you know, when we hit rock bottom and they hit rock bottom. But here we are. We are in the playoffs, Riz. We are in the playoffs,
ladies and gentlemen.
We have lots to talk about. We've got to talk about who opponents, who we think we're going to see or who we want to see, pros and cons. We have a few games left. And we talked and said, like, right now, hockey doesn't really matter, yet it, like, kind of matters because, like, momentum matters. But, like, it doesn't matter because you don't want to injure your star players. So how much are you playing them? And then we got to talk about McDavid and 100 because he's going to play it out a few games anyway before he takes some rest time or maybe some, like, shorter shifts or something.
Does he ever do that?
He doesn't. Like, I don't think it's in his soul.
No, I don't think he can.
I know, but at the same token, every time he plays, I get nervous because I'm like, oh God, we need you in a few weeks, sir. So yeah, let's jump in. Let's talk Oilers hockey.
Okay, I think I just want to start on talking about this whole, let's start on the future because you're talking about resting our star players here right now. And I do think Stuart Skinner has been getting a lot of rest lately. And I've really liked the way that Pickard has picked it up. Like he really, he's made some.
Minus Dallas. Made a
tough one. Yeah.
Dallas game was
the one I was thinking of actually.
But that was bad on everyone's part. Like I felt bad. Everyone was terrible. It was just it was embarrassing. Yeah.
What was the final score of that game?
5-0.
Yeah, was it still 5-0? I think I turned it off after the second and then I went to bed and then I woke up in the morning. And I was like, okay, I don't think anything happened in the third, but yeah. And it was a 6-minute breakdown, right? It was 6 minutes when they gave up 3 goals.
The last 6 minutes of the second. It literally fell apart.
Mm-hmm. 4 goals. It might've been 4 goals in that time.
It was a rough go. Yeah.
Yeah. And just stupidity. And I think that was a learning moment for everyone. So Skinner's been getting a lot of rest. How do you feel about that affecting him going into the playoffs though? Because he was vibing when he was playing all the time. Like when we were 16-0, or 17-0, he played almost every single one of those games.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Because we needed to catch up. We needed to get ourselves into a spot of even like, if could playoffs be possible? Would there be? So yeah, they needed Stewart to stand on his head and he did and played amazingly in that 16 game stretch, minus like one or two games that Pickard got. You know, it's hard because I think like it's that balance of, yes, I want to keep Skinner warm and ready to go and hungry. And then also you need to give Pickard some chances in case we have a Dwayne Rollison type situation.
Oh God,
where
please don't say that. Oh
I know.
God, don't
knocking on the wood. Knocking on
God,
wood. Don't worry. You know, like you have to have Pickard feeling his best as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting him against Dallas and having that happen it was tough. And then, you know, sure, he got the game against Calgary and played great. But Calgary is not someone we're going to see in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you got to kind of like give him a couple games against some harder teams or teams that we might see. And we've got a few of them coming up. We play Colorado. We play Vancouver, which is a huge game. And I expect to see Skinner in net. And I expect from him a elite game after the two games in early part of the season, because I think they were both games he played in October when Vancouver's like mopped the floor with us.
We played Vancouver, remember, game one and game two, and then we played them again 2 weeks later. And game one we got absolutely destroyed. Game two it was a tighter game but still a loss. I think it was 5-3 after an empty net or something like that. It was a close game. And then 2 weeks later we got dummied again. So haven't seen Vancouver since basically the first 2 weeks of season. So, and they're only as of right now, quickly, unless they played today.
They're playing right now. 3 points ahead, but they're playing right now.
Okay. And we have a game ahead, right?
We do.
So that's,
that first in the Pacific is not out of contention. Like it is not. It is doable.
Mm-hmm. Now we can go so many conversations with this. So the schedule as it lays out, we play Vegas Wednesday, Yotes on Friday, who also just beat the Avs in Vancouver. So like Vancouver on Saturday. So another back-to-back And then Monday, so like Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday to cap off the season, back to back against the Oats and then the Abs to finish it off. So we got to play the Abs two more times, which is just like not ideal of the kind of schedule you want going into the final here. But I do expect that, there's the Sharks are in there too. So like, let's say we get Pickard in for the Yotes and the Sharks and then the Yotes again. So then that puts Skinner in for the Knights, the Canucks, and the Avalanche. Actually, that's totally reasonable, Ollie. That would be reasonable. My prediction.
Yeah, me too. I think so as well.
Skinner's still getting some big games in, still lots of rest though.
What's our last game is against Colorado? Yes.
On Thursday,
I wonder if that would be the only game we may see Pickard go in as like...
I think it will depend on how many points are up for grabs and who they rather
what's that
play.
Flip there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So before we move on from this one, because I think we need to go into who would you rather play. I was on the physio table this afternoon and my physio, who has a keen eye, he's a physio for a lot of NHL players as well as Olympians. And he thinks that Sir Zachary Hyman is hurt right now.
That the Calgary game, he was actually really hurt.
Yeah.
That he did get injured. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Which would be devastating. So I'm like, I'm okay with like, just like sit him out right now. Just don't like stop putting him in. Just let him out. Let him rest for like 2 weeks because we cannot go on without Sir Zachary Hyman.
We cannot. No. I know. Our angel from above. Our savior. Cannot be, our savior cannot. Yes. No. Yes. Yeah. Like this is what I'm saying, right? This is this fine line of like, there's still games that like, and people are, you know, especially games like the Yotes and San Jose, where there's nothing to lose.
They're around first line.
Absolutely right, Connor Brown, first line. Let him score some more. Let figure out Evander Kane get out of his like weird head with what's going on, not goal
and
scoring.
Maybe separate him and Corey Perry for a little bit too.
Maybe try and find the back of the net for RNH because he needs to try and pick it up a little bit. He does right, like all that depth scoring, McLeod, Fogle, like just give them the minutes in those games.
We haven't seen a lot from those guys.
We haven't. And that's always been a problem for us in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we met with Vegas was we secondary would come sport. Out. Absolutely. We'd come out, we would take the lead and then we would have nothing left in the tank and nobody else could pick up the pace, right? The depth on that team was true. So here we are that we could potentially see in our first round, the devil we know and the devil we sort of know. Okay, so the devil we know very well.
Yes.
And the devil we only know sort of well, but is like the monkey on our back. So we know we can beat Los Angeles.
Yes.
We've done it before. We've done it
twice in a row. But why do we have to go to game 7?
Yes, and it's always physical. It's always a physical, dirty, messy, grungy, like year one, Leon and his ankle. And
right.
Yeah. Last year was not like last year was a bit better. We had their number a little bit, but it's still like, it's like, I'm always kind of worried. Mm-hmm. Or if there's the devil, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you can't sleep on the Kings. They're like sneaky good. They have too much talent on that team and they know how to play in big games. They're just like, and that's why, and I think we'll start this whole analysis by saying every single team that we have to play to get to the Stanley Cup final could win the Stanley Cup this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no easy pathway to Lord Stanley. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's the hardest and most wonderful trophy in the world.
Well, we're calling it. Actually, the Memorial Cup is. I will say that. Yes.
Yeah.
you're like no. I'm like no, but it is because you have to win 4 rounds and then you have to win them and then you have to win a.
Yeah, that's wild.
So okay,
that's we'll wild.
That. Yes,
we will. We'll give them Memorial Cup their dues. It is the hardest, but like second hardest is our Stanley, and so there's no real easy path. So I'm curious what your thoughts are. Is this a is this a, you hope for first to get Nashville, but they're hot and you just never know with Nashville. We often have their number. Leon is like, Leon owns that team, but yet they're playing ridiculous right now. Yep. Or is this a Kings situation because they play the 1-3-1 and we sort of just have to wait them out and we always end up in the way, kind of like we kind of have figured them out, but mm-hmm. it could get like physically painful.
Physical. Yep.
Yeah. Physical. Or is this a Vegas, let's slay Goliath now while Mark Stone's spleen heals. We know Thomas Hertl's back in tonight. So the LTIR is coming out. Like, do you want to get them before they're at their full capacity, like recharged, and try and slay the dragon now and see that pathway further? I'm like, I'm not sure. And so I'm curious what your initial instincts are on
that. I'm on the exact same page as you, because there's part of me that's like, let's just get Vegas out of the way before Mark Stone comes back in. Like they bring their $12 million of LTIR back in, and then who are super fresh. Realistically, if like, it doesn't look like Mark Stone's going to be back for game one, right? Maybe in the first series. I don't know. The latest I've heard is it doesn't look like he's ready to go in like 2 weeks' time. And again, they could just be making that up. And then surprise, he's fine.
Wearing his white jersey out there.
Yeah. But there's part of me that's like, let's just get Vegas out of the way and like take him. But then again, because it's like, no matter who you're going to play in the first round, it's going to be super tough. It's going to be physical. The Oilers, we know. Now, having said that, we have the grittiest team we've had in the last 3 years of being in
place. Have.
Absolutely. We haven't had this kind of toughness and grit that we've had. And I think that's really been a missing piece. And I think best case scenario for me though, would be let's win the Pacific, let Vancouver feel a little shittier about themselves, because they've been kind of riding the high all year because they started off so hot, they could kind of just coast. And then if we could play Nashville, who I agree is very hot right now and not to be taken lightly, but like, this is where we can talk about Matthias Ekholm and why mm-hmm. Ken Holland, as much as we despise him for primarily like Jack Campbell, like to yes. his legacy, he got us Hyman and he got us
Ekholm. And that is a trade. That is the trade. I don't know. Like Matthias Ekholm is freaking so amazing.
The Oilers are not, they are the power play merchants. They are Matthias Ekholm and what he has done in the last 30 games in terms of how many points he's had, yeah. all even strength, and his just pure shot, like nothing gets by him. He doesn't make mistakes. He is so smart. He's like, his hockey IQ is insane.
It's and off the charts.
And he is playing like he is the boss out there. Like that's how I would describe it. He just seems so confident. And like, he's like consistent. He's almost like a Chris Pronger right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe like not as mean in that sense, but like that hit he had on, starts with an R for
Arturo Lekkonen.
No, in Colorado.
Oh, in Colorado.
Yeah, and he just laid him out, and then somebody came after him. That was like a huge Rantanen.
Yeah, thank you.
And Ekholm just looks around, and he's like just so confident. He's like, "That was clean. Like, what do you guys want from me? Why would I drop my gloves right now? Like, I don't have to answer.
I'm not a fool. Yeah."
Like, he's so smart. He's so calm and collected. He's like the steady Eddie that the boys need, because I feel like a lot of them kind of ride, like Evander Kane will ride a high and low. Corey Perry, right? Streaky high and low. Like we know what we're getting out of players like that. And I think the rest of them kind of feed off the core four. And we argue that Nuge is a little bit on the lower end right now. Yeah. I mean, you got him going, but you know who I'm talking about when I'm talking about our power play boys. But Ekholm is just for him, and every time we play Nashville, he is just like there's an aura around him. It's like when played NHL, like I haven't played it like video games in years.
360, whatever. You had the little, you knew who you were,
and you just watch Ekholm and just watch everything that he takes care of in like in every zone, and like and just the way he's dictating out there. So I would love to play Nashville first, and every game we play is going to be physical, but I think between them, Vegas and the Kings, it's the, like, I think they would be the least physical for Nashville.
I agree.
I don't know them as well, but.
No, I think I agree. And I think the only thing that would also, it also is, would be a positive, is it's getting the most travel out of the way early, because it is the furthest to travel for mm-hmm. them. I think it's what, it's two time zones. It's into Central, isn't it? Is Nashville into Central?
No, they're in, I'm pretty sure they're in Eastern. Or maybe it's one. I don't know.
So I think it's like, it is further than, it's further than LA or Vegas. And it kind of just gets it out of the way, right? Mm-hmm. I know that it's like, yeah, it's crappy, but it's done then. And then you're kind of like, it's a little less travel, which can be, it's hard for Western teams. Everyone's like, oh, the East. You're like, no, West travels a long way. Between
a lot
games.
Of guys talk about that, the difference between playing in the East and the West, and the difference of being able to go to your own bed at night at a reasonable time. It's yeah. a huge
quick
thing
hour flight and you're back. Absolutely, yeah. It is. So that's like, I think I'm with you that, like, I think I've ordered them and ranked them, and that is Nashville if we can have it, because Leon seems to come alive for some strange reason in Nashville.
Nashville too. Yeah.
Obviously having Ekholm, the inside track of playing there that long and knowing mm-hmm. what's going on and just how he's playing. It just seems like the right, it just seems like it, maybe the, not the easier road, cause it's not going to be easy, but just the, like the road, the less maybe physically taxing road.
Yes.
And then I think LA next, just because we know what to do. You know, it's, I think I know we're all going to have to eventually see, or maybe potentially, unless Vancouver and, you know, I don't know, the Golden Knights end up somehow in the first round. I don't, you know what I mean? You kind of have to, you may have to see them, but I'm just not ready to go there yet. Mm-hmm. Not ready to deal with that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you. And it's kind of funny because we're talking about this as if we're going to see any of those teams in the second round, because this is how much we disrespect the Vancouver Canucks, because neither of us actually believe that the Vancouver Canucks are going to make it in the second round.
Neither of us. Like, we're like, actually, I was really like, yeah, it would be nice if like Vancouver sort of like, just like kind of like made Vegas tired for the second round. That would be nice. But no, do I for 1 second believe that Vancouver would beat them? Not a chance.
Really? Well, you know what? I think of all the teams, I think Vancouver matches up the best against Vegas. And I don't have like a solid reason why. But let me ask you this now. Now, in a perfect hypothetical situation, once we win the, get out of the Pacific, so we'll get out of the first two rounds, who would you rather see in the Western Conference final between, because I don't really, again, kind of disrespectful here, but there's no chance the Jets are getting there. So would you rather see the Stars or the Avs?
The Avs. I do not want to see the Stars.
I know.
Especially, they're scary. They're scary. They're just, it just like, no. It's,
and Ottinger is so good.
So good. And we can, you know, yes, I think Colorado's also a bit of that like monkey on the back that we have to like make up for. That was their year. Clearly it was their year.
100%.
You know, like it was meant for it. But this is a team we can beat. We showed it the other night. We can absolutely beat them. A big win. And it is a fair match, it feels, for the most part. Like it feels like it's an even, equal match. I do not want to see Dallas. Eastern Conference at all. Like it would pain me deeply. And also like 2000s, like 1990s and 2000s.
Oh, yeah. Bring that rivalry where we played them every single flipping year in the first round.
Every year in the first round for what felt like an ice age. Yes, a decade. There's just too much there. So no, thank you. What about you?
I'm with you on that one. I think Dallas is too deep. They're too hot. And they've got a goalie that just, they have a Stanley Cup capable contender and a goaltender. And he hasn't been great in the last stretch, but he played damn good against us. And in general, I'd rather see, I think you're right. We have a way more evenly matched up ability against the Avs. Like we have like player for player of who matches up on each team. And I'd say I'd call them pretty equal. And that actually probably leads me to my next point of the discussion. So if you asked anybody a month ago, the MVP of the season was Nathan MacKinnon. And now our Lord and Savior, Connor McJesus, is on about to get 100 assists. And so
100 assists. And the only would be the third player in history to do that?
And hasn't done it since Gretzky did it in the like early 90s, if not late 80s.
Yes.
Which is just so impressive, right? As a feat.
It's a mind-boggling feat.
Also really pathetic because at the Battle of Alberta on Saturday, he had a blatant, there was a one play where it was like 2-1 nothing to the net. And it was like four passes back to each other. And he should have, like, he last year, he was shooting that shot.
He was shooting, he would have shot it. Absolutely.
This year in his mind, like, you can literally see him. He's like, here's 98. I want the pass.
Take,
and then it was
take 99.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I mean, we're a little bit biased here, but just based on how the seasons has gone is what Nathan MacKinnon has been able to do. And also he has way more goals throughout the season. Is that kind of your MVP vote, or is Connor McDavid coming out of the depths of last place in the league and putting a team on his back and carrying them to, you know, fighting for first place in the division in the last couple of games here? Is that MVP? What do you, who's getting
you? I cannot even be remotely unbiased. I am, yeah. I am proudly wearing the most biased, like Homer tattooed on my forehead. Connor McDavid is the MVP of the league. He was broken in October and November. And I'm sure physically, he clearly was injured at the Winter Classic.
Outdoor game. Yep.
Outdoor game. He was not well. He was not, he was a shadow, like a shadow of himself. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere, and I think a lot of people say that turning point was the North Carolina game where they were down 5-1 and he's on the bench. And I don't know if you've seen this meme, but his head's hanging low and Draisaitl sits down next to him and he pats Dry on the knee and Dry pats him back.
In this, I saw like, that meme like way
moment
back. Yeah.
of
yeah.
brotherly love. And then things were like, okay, and they did lose three more after that. But then it was like, that was the, I think like this turning point of like, we're together, we're going to figure this out. So yes, I'm sorry.
We know the turning point of the season though. And that was the thing that everyone didn't want to see happen. And that was the firing of Jay Woodcroft.
Yes, I know.
That was the turning point.
Still
it literally,
hurts a little in the
I know
soul.
It does, but it's like at the end of the day, that it was the only thing that
it was the only could, thing that they could do.
And it was the best thing that they could do. Cause all of a sudden then they could play defense. That's what they were missing.
We just needed to drag Paul Coffey by his coat, kicking and screaming to a bench and be like, no, you're actually coaching. He's like, I don't want to. You're like, no, you're going to, no, but I don't want to.
Too bad. We need you. Yeah.
We need you.
Too bad. Get back there.
No, I truly think Connor McDavid from where they were, like he literally has changed the fortunes of a team. Mm-hmm. in a short time span. So like if MacKinnon had also done that and scored as many goals, then yes, I would give it to Nathan MacKinnon, but he didn't. Let's I think our last question of the day is, we got a few games in hand here on Vancouver. Vancouver's playing tonight. I can't believe I'm gonna say this out loud, but go Vegas. I hate them so much, Riz. I hate them.
I hope they both lose.
I know, I'm like, it's like, I hope they both end up hurting each other, but not permanently.
Yes.
What in the forecast of the next few games is your, what do you think is the most important game? What's the one you're looking forward to towards this last stretch?
I'm with everyone. I think like Vancouver on Saturday, I think that one is like the ultimate kind of test. The ultimate redemption. I think it's literally crazy that we are a different team compared to playing then. And Vancouver is really leveled out. I don't think they're necessarily as hot as they have been. Teams have started to figure them out a little bit. And I think it's a big test. So they're playing that in Edmonton. So it's like, I want to see like not a close game. Like I want to see the Oilers dominate. Like
I
want
to see what they did to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do right back to them.
Yeah. Then, and I think that's what the boys need to get some ultimate confidence going in to, you know, these last couple games. And obviously the, you know, Vegas and the Canucks and then Avs again, obviously they're all big games, but they also don't matter that much. I mean, they really don't. And I don't want to see them playing at a playoff level yet because there's this short bandwidth for that. Now, that being said, the two games against the Coyotes and the game against the Sharks, those are must win. So that's not like a, but that's not a must win, like play Connor and Leon 30 minutes a game. Like that's a must win, as in everybody get your head in the game, show up, do your job, and you should have no problem, right? Like
So play your bare, like the your base 100 level and you should be fine. Like
But be emotionally invested into the game and get those points. And then I haven't really seen the Canucks schedule from here on out. Have you? I'm curious now.
I tried to avoid it living in this city.
It's hard, I was like, you're there. You should maybe know, Mike. Well, you don't have to follow them. So
I obviously knew they were playing the Golden Knights tonight because obviously it's a big game. It's a big game for us as Oilers fans, because they lose tonight and that first place is like, we have a game. We'd have essentially then two games in hand at that point. Right.
Right. So the Canucks have the Knights tonight. Oh, they only have four games left. So the Canucks have the Coyotes, the Oilers, then the Flames, and then the Jets. So a considerably easier schedule than the Oilers do.
A little gentler than ours.
Significantly, we'll call it. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm sure the Canucks can, if the Vegas is really going to be their biggest test. Oh, the Jets too. I mean, the Jets are still fighting for that spot. I'm sure the Jets, they're not fighting for a spot, but they're fighting to, you know, retain or who they're going to play against.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I mean, obviously the Oilers is going to be the biggest test, but they got the Flames, I think, are on track right now. The vibe in the city is so low. It's like, first of all, Battle of Alberta on Saturday, 50% Oiler fans. And it was, could you hear the chants on the TV broadcast? Could. The Let's Go Oiler chant?
It almost sounded like being at home. It did. Yeah. It was
like, wild. It was wild. Bless. But I was talking to quite a few Flames fans, and you know, for them, this was the biggest game of the year because it's all that they had left that mattered to them.
It's emotional for them. Yeah.
But then there were so many people that are talking to, and they're like, you know what? Like, Flames might as well lose this one. Like, it's at the point where you might as well just fall as far down as you can and try and get a better draft pick. It was win-win for the Oilers to win, because the Flames really know where they stood. And obviously after being mathematically eliminated, they're just like, yeah, it's over here.
Whatever. Let's get a better, higher draft pick. That's fair. That's for sure. Well, I'm with you. I think, you know, yes, there's two Colorado games. There's a Vegas game, and those are pridey type games, but I don't want to see our Fantastic Four injured in any way, or just like, because it can get rough, and I'm like, I almost want to just bubble wrap 97 once he gets his 100th.
I know, just let him play till he gets his 100th and then sit him
sit him, and until that happens, he gets his 100th and then just bubble wrap him up. I think, you know, Vancouver game is important. They will play, they need to dominate, and then I'm comfortable if those boys play a whole lot less and we let some of that second and third lines, all those lines. I need Evander to get into playoff form. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. I know that they claim there's no locker room drama, yet we saw it on national broadcasts. If Corey Perry's been here 2 months and he's like, this is my team, we are going to go to this is it, then I'm like, okay. And I know I'm not like reading into it. Everyone gets testy. There's a lot of testiness, but we also know Evander has not been having his best few months of play, right? Mm-hmm. Was it, he hadn't had a goal other than since like a few February. Nights ago.
Yeah.
It was a long time. Mm-hmm. So I need him to get into form. I need Fogle and McLeod to get into form. I need Ryan Nugent Hopkins. I need Nuge to have more minutes and get some goals and start feeling hot. So I think like Vancouver is the big test. It's the big game. And then, whatever comes after that, I'm A-okay with. I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. I am really excited to see Corey Perry play for us in the playoffs.
Better playing against him.
I'm, for the first time in my life, like I was like, what timeline am I living in that I am thrilled that Corey Perry is, that I'm watching Corey Perry play.
It's
hockey.
Just the other side of the matrix, right? Because at all times you just hate play against him. You just hate him. Yes. Like, so
hate him.
You know what? If you're going to hate him, he might as well be in your team. So everybody else hates him, but he's on
your thrilled. Team. I know. I'm thrilled. So let's hate him. So I'm excited for the next few games. And then I want our boys to get some rest and some of those other lines to be rolled so that we're ready to go. But we will be back before playoffs start. Mm-hmm. I am sure, because we're going to have lots to talk about once we find out where where we seed.
Oh, we're going to have a preseason or a pre-playoff preview of,
yeah,
you know, maybe we'll go back and look at the matchups throughout the years and how, or throughout the game and season. Holy cow, it's bedtime. Yeah, let's see how these next couple games play out, and looking forward to breaking down not just whatever series that we're going to be entering, but kind of the rest of the league here, because
the whole league.
The one thing that we haven't even touched on in the East is the fact that the Pittsburgh Penguins have a chance to make playoffs.
like literally what? 2 weeks ago, it was like,
yeah,
it was like blow up the team. Let's end this.
Yeah, it's
I know.
The end of the dynasty, and now they're like, Sid's like, hold my beer.
Sid's like, I'm still good looking. I can still play hockey. Let's do this. Yeah, we definitely have some major East, like we have a full playoff conversation to have once everyone is in their place and we know what's going down. Yeah. So this has been the Mother Pucker podcast for the evening. We will be back before playoffs. Thank you for tuning in. If you are interested in our podcast, please find us where you find all your podcasts, and check us out, Mother Pucker podcast, on the Ordinary Podcasting Network. The Mother Pucker podcast is a proud member of the Ordinary Podcasting Network. For more information on this or any of our other podcasts, please visit ordinarypodcast.com. The Ordinary Podcasting Network would like to acknowledge that the lands on which our conversations take place include the traditional territory of the Treaty 7 people in southern Alberta and the Métis Nation of Alberta, as well as the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, including the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations.